Fear of God. God is love. His love is unconditional, and he has compassion on us in our weakness. He sees our human nature and understands our experience of life because Jesus lived as a man himself. He sympathizes with us in our struggles. He tries to woo us by his love and capture us with his mercy. He wants us to return his love and experience the delight that he has in us. However, that does not mean that God is soft. He's not weak and indulgent. He is the Lord of the universe, and we should, in a certain sense, fear him. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, we should fear God partly because we love him and tremble in case we offend him and reject his love. But we should also fear God because we are sinful and rightly deserve punishment for our faults. God's mercy is abundant, and so we have reasons for hope in it. He's rich in mercy, but he's also just, and when we die, we will have to undergo a personal judgment. There will come a time when we will have to receive the recompense for the kind of life we have lived, good or bad. In the Catechism, section 2840, we read, "This outpouring of mercy cannot penetrate our hearts as long as we have not forgiven those who have trespassed against us. Love, like the body of Christ, is indivisible. We cannot love the God we cannot see if we do not love the brother or sister we do see. In refusing to forgive our brothers and sisters, our hearts are closed, and their hardness makes them impervious to the Father's merciful love. But in confessing our sins, our hearts are opened to his grace." So one of the reasons for fearing God is because he is perfectly capable of denying us his mercy if we don't extend forgiveness to anyone and everyone who has offended us. Think about that for a moment. It means if we want to be forgiven ourselves and have a chance of getting into heaven, we must forgive those who have damaged us, abused us, destroyed our reputation, harmed us physically, acted unjustly towards us, stolen from us, exposed us to ridicule, stunted our ability to function in a healthy way as we go through life, or withheld from us the love that we deserved. St. Thomas Aquinas makes the distinction between servile fear and filial fear. Fear of God is more akin to the respect that a son or daughter has to their father than that of a slave to a master. In other words, fear of God is an expression of the love that we bear towards him rather than simply a craven terror of punishment. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, Jesus tells us, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear of God is, in part, an acknowledgement of how powerful and mighty and immense he is. We should not take his love for granted. Presumption is a sin against hope and shows a lack of fear of God. Presumption is the error that we can sin freely and offend God, knowing that he is merciful and will forgive us. God does forgive if we are repentant, but if we don't repent or repent with the intention of sinning again, then how can he forgive us? This attitude of presumption demonstrates an inaccurate picture of God's mercy and love. He is merciful, but also just. Some people assume that everyone, except perhaps really evil people, will go to heaven. But as Jesus tells us, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many." There is a certain healthy anxiety we should have about where we will eventually end up. We should not go through life blithely doing what we want, sinning in many ways, holding resentments against others, indulging our lusts and cravings, stealing, being dishonest, gossiping, leading others astray into a life of sin, and assume that God will just overlook these faults. So just as St. Paul advises us in Philippians 2:12, we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. On the one hand, some people dread the final judgment and what it will mean for them. They fear punishment for their sins. But on the other hand, the last judgment is a sign of hope, since it will also bring justice for those who have been oppressed, bullied, disenfranchised, deprived, or sinned against. God is particularly strict when it comes to forgiveness. Jesus tells us, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. In other words, God's mercy has limits. But there is a way that we can set our minds at ease with regard to the mighty power of God and the fact that he holds our fate in his hands, as it were, and that is through repentance. God's mercy is ever present for those who come to him and repent for the sins they have committed. And that requires humility on our part. Many of us may go through life believing that we are in control of what happens to us. We try to plan our lives and try to arrange our circumstances to our best advantage. But ultimately, God is the one who is in charge. He is the one who is in control of all the details of our existence. When we come to him in humility and acknowledge that he is the Lord, he rushes to our aid. It's that same humility that is needed for us to come to him with our burden of sin, repent, and ask his forgiveness. As Mary prayed in the Magnificat, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. It's that humility before God that is needed for true fear of God. But ultimately, the fear of God should give way to love of God. Yes, God is almighty, powerful, and awe-inspiring, but he's also a God of love, and we are his beloved children. When we receive God's love and love him back, we will do everything not to harm that relationship. We will seek to avoid sin and to grow in virtue, not primarily out of fear of punishment, but out of love. St. John explains the primacy of love over fear in his first letter. Here's what he says. In this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world, we are just like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. At the end of the play, A Man for All Seasons, St. Thomas More is about to be unjustly beheaded, and he turns to his executioner and says, "Friend, be not afraid of your office. You send me to God." At which Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, comments, "You're very sure of that, Sir Thomas." Thomas More replies, "He will not refuse one who is so blithe to go to him." St. Thomas's life was marked by love of God, love of neighbour and humility, and that's what gave him the confidence in God's mercy towards him at the end. So yes, we should fear God, reverence him, be humble and repent when we sin. But we should also know that we are precious to him, that he will not abandon us, and that above all he loves us. That's what gives us confidence, peace and joy. Fear of God is an expression of love. Let's pray. Lord, our Father, you are Lord of the universe and we rightly revere you. Teach us to cultivate a proper fear of God so that we may not stray into sin, abandon your ways and be lost forever. Help us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, but always remembering that you love us, that you are merciful, and that you are always ready to forgive our sins and take us back. Amen.